break the racial barriers. Escape the hatred cause we came from different areas. Too much shame and blame, it will only bury us. Remember all God's children remain various. Remember all God's children remain various.
Hip-hop isn't what hip-hop was, cause hip-hop's reflected by what hip-hop does.
Okay.
And current MCs claim that it's not love, cause nowadays hip-hop ain't shit but a bunch of thugs. They wanna be what Tupac would speak, ignoring his words, words to get you off the street. He may have brought the heat, but it was brought with honesty. Now it's obsolete, cause of these whack-ass mockeries. Acting someone else to me feels ignorant. You could be as real as him, but still be different. I've never been shot at or even seen a million, but we're similar, cause we speak to Rita children. I'm not from the projects or ever been to prison, but I've been oppressed by the man's federal system. Skeptical as they take away from my day-to-day living, but understand, it goes both ways. Racism,
We the people need to break the racial barriers. Escape the hatred cause we came from different areas. Too much shame and blame, it will only bury us. Remember all God's children remain various.
We the people need to break the racial barriers. Escape the hatred cause we came from different areas. Too much shame and blame, it will only bury us. Remember all God's children remain various. Ain't no Eminem and I won't pretend to be. This ain't meant for him, nor is it meant for me. It's expressed to those who hate by labeling. Haters better get to know me before you say these things. Enabling these fake fucks to grow and build. I'm judging a man by cover, not the growth of his skills. I'm scoping to kill any corporate businesses who promote racism split too, cause they're different. Ignorance is bliss, but don't exist when I'm ripping shit. And don't think I won't get at you cause I'm melanin deficient. I'm not rich yet, but I possess the right equipment to lift your images, prove you're bitching too timid. Too sick to swim with, like I spit the illest liquid. So when I give the gift, listen before you start dissing. Cause this is hip hop, a multicolored prison. No more bullshitting. Just knowledge, turn wisdom.
We the people need to break the racial barriers. Escape the hatred cause we came from different areas. Too much shame and blame, it will only bury us. Remember all God's children remain various.
We the people need to break the racial barriers. Escape the hatred cause we came from different areas. Too much shame and blame, it will only bury us. Remember all God's children remain various.
You can fight for freedom or fight for what you believe in, but contradiction is what keeps the fight even. What you hate in someone else is something you hate in yourself. And when you're hating yourself, you're just breaking your health. Might be making your wealth, but you're just mistaking yourself. What's the greatness when only hatred is felt? This fight is ageless and it's embracing the belt. Which side are you taking at the ring of the bell? Good and evil in different hoods and people looks. All deceitful book covers aren't always see-through. You should read through the book before passing the judgment. The color of my skin only distracts away from my substance. May this be the only song I ever have to come with, cause racism is a subject that most can't stomach. I suppose that's cause it's degrading one another. In the end, please present me by my culture, not my color.
We the people need to break the racial barriers. Escape the hatred cause we came from different areas. Too much shame and blame, it will only bury us. Remember all God's children remain various.
We the people need to break the racial barriers. Escape the hatred cause we came from different areas. Too much shame and blame, it will only bury us. Remember all God's children remain various. We the people need to break the racial barriers. Escape the hatred cause we came from different areas. Too much shame and blame, it will only bury us. Remember all God's children remain various.
We the people need to break the racial barriers. Escape the hatred cause we came from different areas. Too much shame and blame, it will only bury us.
Remember all God's children remain various.
Remember all God's children.
Wow, that was really cool. That was Devil's Suitcase by my friends down under, Masonic Temple, which you can catch them out at myspace.com/myspace. / Masonic Temple. And this is Andrew Federer, and I'll welcome everybody. This is When Pigs Fly. Coming to you from live from Las Vegas, of course. Sort of a sunny, windy day here. It's gotten a little cooler than usual for April. I guess our atmospherical changes are happening as we speak. Little do we know about global warming and the true aspects. I think I did that in another show. I want to give out a couple announcements, and I was going to actually have somebody else come on. I was going to have a special guest coming on my show, and I apologize for them not coming on. It was just out of this just straight up. I don't want to reiterate because I've done this two shows about integrity, but you know, when somebody says they're going to do something, they don't do it, and shows lack of respect, mutual respect and professionalism, well, then due course has its reason to affect. So I'll just leave it at that. But I do have a couple announcements. First of all, 14 days from today, and let's say today's 11th, so let's see, let's count it up. Oh, that would be April 25th. I'm going to have a very special show. I know people have asked me, I've talked in one past show about out-of-body experiences and how to go out-of-body, and I've decided, yep, I'm going to do that whole show about going out-of-body. In fact, I'm going to do it at the very end of the show. Well, I will, the best of my ability, and hopefully I do in a nice meditative tone, try to, you know, put where you can listen to it and then go out of body, hopefully go out of body. And then, but I will go through some aspects of that and some very important things about it. So I'm drinking some Starbucks, so I've got to have my caffeine running through my veins for this vampire. Even though we do come out at night sometimes for a momentary feeding. Yeah, and it was funny because two weeks ago, so I'm going to say, I sometimes listen to my show afterwards and, you know, see how it was. And I sounded like I was sort of tired last time. I guess I was. I've had the last three weeks, really busy, doing a lot of things at once. But, oh, and I want to, so that's one of the announcements, by the way, 2 weeks from today, April 25th, is going to be my out-of-body show. Or some people call it OBO, I think it's out of body, or OB, whatever. Anyway, I'm going to have that. And then, just so any of you are going to be out in Las Vegas area on May 24th, the Memorial Weekend, I've been asked to do by B. Dalton Bookstore, which is associated with Barnes Noble, to do a book signing event at their store. That's a store in Henderson. That I believe that's on 1300 Sunset Road in Henderson. That's on Stephanie and Sunset in the Gallery Mall on the 24th, and I'll be there doing a signing event from 1 to 5, and I'll be doing, I guess I'll do the same promotion. I will have whoever purchased the first 5 books of The Heretic will get a free copy of the prequel, When the Angels Have Risen. So, for those of you who already would like The Heretic, and maybe you already have the When the Angels Have Risen, you can get 2-for-1 and give it as a gift. Anyway, that's my other announcement. I think there was another announcement I was going to say. What was it? Oh, yeah. My birthday. Yeah, that's why it was almost the birthday show. Yeah, my day is my birthday. I'm going to be a half a century. Can't believe it. Man, I'm at half a century. It's amazing. 50 years. Well, that was my other announcement. No big deal. So, I was want to get into some aspects of things and, you know, how funny things you go through the day and through the week and you hear a lot of things talked about. I'm sure people know, like, well, it sounds sort of Seinfeldish, but, you know, when you go to the post office and and you go get stamps, and now they have these things called the forever stamps. And I heard I told the clerk, well, why don't they just call them inflation stamps? Because, you know, that's really what they are, being so nice. And it's funny how we use words to placate things and tell them what they really are. You know, it's like the war on terrorism. Instead of using the war in Iraq, I mean, that went for such a long time. After an invasion in Iraq, had nothing to do with about terrorism. You know, closest thing was maybe back when we went to Afghanistan, definitely, but Iraq, yeah. Now, I think this is a... We've been actually in Iraq longer than I think we were in Nazi Europe during World War II, now come to think about it. Let's see, 41, 45, that's 4 years. Yeah, we have been, a year more. Damn, that's unbelievable, isn't it? You know, and I'm going to think about just the billions of dollars that we spent every day, every year, and just think of the amount of money instead of their infrastructure and this infrastructure in the United States. People are losing their houses, people poor or whatever. I mean, you can just take that and dump it someplace into the United States, and it would cause an economic stimulus right there. I mean, so when they, all the politicians, and they talk all this kind of bullshit crap to you about, you know, economic stimulus and what they could do, you know, the reality, you know. They will just tell you something to placate you, but the reality, it seems like they're almost creating certain situations. In fact, the other day I was listening to, he was on one show and he was a billionaire, Flaris, I forgot his name. Anyway, I was listening to him and a couple other economics, and they were talking some interesting issues, which I don't want to get into too much right now. But it's when he was talking about the dollar, and almost like the dollar is being forcibly devalued, which is getting into an issue of globalization, of one world order. It's pretty fascinating. How they're, it was almost like they want the dollar to go down, they want the Chinese to stay strong, the euro to get better, and eventually almost like they want to create a new currency. That's what they're talking about. And I've heard where they're trying to pull in a euro that's spelled with an A. Like merge the currency of Canada, United States, and Mexico together. God, Mexican money. That'd be interesting. Anyway, so that's all then in there. And gone on that. Dealt with that before, but I'm going to talk about something that I know, you know, since it was an issue, and I mean, it relates to where I grew up during the times, and I know there's younger people who have different reflections toward the United States and what happens, and it's always about the race thing. But then the racial issues have been all around the world. Different elements, and I've seen it in different elements, and grew up seeing different elements. And being that I'm a Jew, I've seen where anti-Semitism and racial things have happened. Growing up in the 60s, you know, learning the first time it's called a dirty Jew or Christ killer, and growing up with that ish stuff all the time, and the fights, and going to places where once they know that you're a Jew, you're not allowed, you can't go in there. In the same token, I know of blacks as well, you know, and this growing up in the 60s as a kid in early 70s until that was, you know, slowly being deteriorated, but there still was a lot of bigotry and racism. Nothing like now, but now it's more submerged. A lot of things are a lot different. There's been a leaps and bounds as far as the United States is concerned, as far as culturally and things like that. But let me give you an example of some of the racism. I mean, I can tell you a couple kid stories. The first time I ever really experienced seeing, and I'm talking racism, not just anti-Semitism, was 1965 when the Watts riot happened. My dad actually was constructed a bunch of apartments out in Oxnard, California. And we stayed there for, it was during the summer, for a week or two, whatever. Sort of funny, because I was when I met this little girl, and he said, "You can't be her, because you're not the same religion." And I was like 7 years old, and we wanted to get married, and so we sort of, everybody thought, "Oh, isn't that cute?" Anyway, we came back from Oxnard, and I think I was like almost about 7 years old then, and we... my neighbors. First of all, you got to know where I live. I grew up in Van Nuys, California. There's basically two Jewish families, one Mexican, the rest white at that time. And there's a kid walking out in the street, and, you know, a black kid selling candy, and the whole these neighbors had their guns out. They were going to go kill him. Mind you, this is just right after the Watts riot. And my dad, he goes, Andy, come with me. And he starts telling them he's going to check it out. You know, and I go, what? I don't really understand. So I get in, I never forget, I go back in the back seat of his car. And we drive up. And as he's telling, he's explaining to me, because my dad was very pluralistic. He judged people for what they are, not what they, you know, what they do, not what they are. So we're driving up, and he goes up and he explains to me, you know, how people view people for their ethnic origin or religion or whatever, but that's all completely bullshit. And he just goes up and comes around, because it was like right across the street, because I live right near an elementary school, and he just went like not even a block, turns around, and he gets out of the car and he tells all these people, and they got their shotguns and everything out, and they go, hey, don't worry, he's a good one. And they go, Perry, are you sure he's a good one? And they said, yeah, he's got a little G on his back. And then they left the kid alone. And that tells you the mentality then. Not saying that, I mean, the mentality is growing a lot further, obviously, but that was the average mentality, you know. I mean, that's how people thought. I remember going into one of my dad's closest friends, Jimmy, who taught me how to drive. He was black, but he had, like, lightish blue eyes. And we went to this area to get, when I went to get to my driver's license, you know, you do your driving test. And he drove me there, and we're sitting there, and the DMV guy goes, who's this? I go, this is my father. And I was, of course, sarcastic. Well, like I'm not sarcastic now. And the tester driver dude, gets in my car, we get in the car, we drive, make a right-hand turn in the first driveway, make another right turn, like right around the corner, make another right turn, back in the driveway, and I go, what's the matter? He says, you failed. I go, how did I fail? He says, let me just tell you, you're never going to get a license in this town. And I realized it had nothing to do with driving, it had to be with, they had thought that really was my father, a black man. And this is Glendale. By the way, back then, Glendale was very white, black. It was, even though I lived in L.A. in the valley, Glendale, which is a city right near the valley, was very white at the time. And they had block busting. They didn't allow Jews or Hispanics or blacks living in their area. And sort of funny now, it's a lot of mainly Armenian, which is sort of ironic. But that told you, you know, and this is like in the 70s, okay? This is when I got my driver's license. So that's, you know, 30 years ago. So that tells you where there was definitely a situation, a lot of racism. And, you know, and there still is. I mean, it was weird. Like, I remember coming into Vegas in 1999, And LA, in the meantime, has leaped forward. I mean, it's pretty multicultural, obviously, and, you know, still have their elements, you know, they have with their police and the Rodney King incidents and stuff like that. But it wasn't until I came to Vegas that I saw, oh my God, it felt like I was going back 20 years ago. Moving forward as far as dealing with racism. And nobody likes talking about it, but the reason I'm talking about it because nobody likes talking about it. And I walk into this job I was about to work at, and I was working, and it was like, it was weird. It was like I walked into the South or something. It was like blacks were sitting on one side, you know, like at lunchtime, and the whites were sitting on another side. It was like really, really strange. And if I started talking to a black folk, the whites looked at me really weird. And it was also a time where I went to work for one company, which I will not mention the name, just for the reason. But they had, it was my first experience where people started using derogatory remarks toward Jews. And I hadn't heard that in, like, you know, like some 20, 30, about 30 years, you know. So it was like walking into the past. And I realized this is really America. I mean, there's still people out there that think this way. But, you know, racism, people think all the time racism in America is always a white toward black or toward minority. It's always a white person who's being racist toward a black or, but that's not true. You know, it's sort of funny because as many, actually I'll tell you straight up, I think in the United States there's, if you took a population and did a percentage, I bet you'd find fewer percentage of whites being racist compared to blacks toward Hispanics. You know, and I'm just telling you straight up. People are not going to, oh, well, that's not politically correct. That's not, it is. I'm just telling you, I think it's really unusual, but I think what, you know, it's sort of funny. It's like, not so funny, but it's pretty weird. Sometimes when people are racially victims, they themselves become very racist. And so what happens is it carries on to inside their culture, and it's passed from parent to son to daughter, so on down the line. And I think that sort of happens to a lot of extent. And though I do still see elements of, like, white people being very bigoted and say racial things, I still, even at work, I've heard things, you know, like when they talk about Barack Obama and, you know, and all vote for the white person for a war, black person. And, you know, like, it's like stupid. I mean, how the, you vote for a person for what they are, not for, you know, what they believe in, what they're going to do, not what the color of skin, not what their gender is, not what their religious belief, you know, religion or, you know, religion, ethnicity. But people still think that way. I mean, look at the news. They even categorize how people vote. They, well, how many Hispanics are going to vote for Hillary? How many whites will vote for him? How many Mormons? How many blacks are going to vote for so-and-so? And they already create the racial divide in their own talk. There is already racism within our own news. But I also want to point out the reverse racism. And this is an issue that nobody really wants to talk about because it has to be thrown in the face of, you know, whether it's black leaders, Hispanic leaders, and they themselves are racist. I've heard comments from them, and it says, you know what, they're bad, just as bad. You know, they are not Martin Luther King. I think Martin Luther King, one thing he was great is he was showing no divide. He was trying to show how you cannot look at a person whether their color, creed, or religion. That was the dream. But when the own minority have stepped way back and use racism as an excuse, or themselves become racist, it's the same thing. Do you think Martin Luther King today would be happy to see BET, Black Entertainment Network, a black station? It's like segregation all over again. He would not. That would be on the reverse of what the whole point was. It'd be, and by the way, wouldn't that be racist to have a black entertainment station? What would be the difference of having a white entertainment station? You get what I'm saying? You know? And it's not saying that it shouldn't be culturally. That's fine. But it almost comes off, it is very racist. It'd be different if it's about cultural things, you know, and presented in that way, you know. Like Ebony Magazine would be more like black culture, but not when it's saying, you know, a racial divide. And there is, and like I said, there's definitely a reverse racism. And there's, I would tell you, there's probably, with my experiences and seeing, there's probably more blacks I've seen racist than whites racist these days. I've seen more Hispanics racist elements within their own element toward blacks and whites. So it's not just a white problem, it's definitely racism the other way around, too. You know? And that is the problem. Everybody doesn't want to talk about the real truth of it because it's not politically correct. Well, I don't give a shit about politically correct. Everybody knows that on this show. I tell it straight how it is. And I'm going to tell you how it is. And that's a part of the problem. It's like when a person's so scared of whether to... what do I call you, an African-American or a black? Shouldn't have to worry about what you call the person as a person. Why would you need to even put that term? It's like whether I'm going to call me a Jew or whether you're going to call somebody else a Mexican or somebody else a Puerto Rican or you're Asian. You know, and people can talk about victimizations and things about what have happened to certain people, and then there's all, which is a whole other matter, which is the Native Americans, which I will get into. Nobody talks about the racism toward them, or the Asians. Nobody ever talks about the racism toward Asians. Hell, you can see it on all the movies. How many Asians do you see in television or movies playing a normal aspects? There's a few, one or two, but you will not very rarely see unless they're doing some kung fu movie. You know, that's the nomer of what they think of people at put place, what they call typecasting as far as Asians. And then let me get an aspect of where we've come from as far as it's in the United States. And then, you know, I know people are listening from around the world, but you got to realize this, the United States was started from racism and has racism from not just there was the slavery, there was treatment toward Indians, the treatment toward Jews. There was a lot of racism even amongst Catholics, the Irish. I mean, people divided themselves with ethnicity toward the Italians. You know, I can go on and on about the divide. Chinese were here and the Japanese. I mean, there was definitely ethno-racism, whatever you want to call it, isms in the United States. And, you know, but in the last 30 years, on the African or black treatment of racism and what's happened in the United States, it has come pretty far as getting away from that. I mean, there's no segregation. There's black men and women have moved way up in the forefront as far as economics, as far as politics. I mean, look at now. We've had two African American, black Americans as Secretary of State. So look at the leadership in the Congress and now in the Senate. You have we had Colin Powell, who was our not just a Secretary of State, but he was our Chief of Staff. I mean, in the military, you know, head of Pentagon. And, I mean, you can go on, and now here we have Barack Obama, who's now possibly could be the President of the United States. You know, that is pretty far. And then we have even a woman. That's another issue of how far we've come in this country. And you have to take that in consideration. That is pretty far. But yet people start throwing out the racism and that. And you know what, by the way, speaking of racism, of how people we still have, and I was talking about reverse racism toward how, you know, what are blacks and minorities and their attitudes, they're actually more so. Here's an example. You know, and I'm not going to speculate what their reasons for voting, because you're not sitting in a voting booth where people determine why they vote. But just look at for what it is. You know, look at how many white people have voted for, and here I'm doing like CNN, like I didn't want to talk about CNN or one of the, or MSNBC, but showing how many people, white people, had voted for Barack Obama. And look how many black people have voted for Barack Obama. You know, like, it's like 50, 60% of, let's say, white people voting. Well, you wouldn't see if that was based upon, His aspirations, his policies, everybody's view of him becoming our president, and their opinion believing that he would be a great president, or is it something else? Like, why is it 90% of blacks voting for Barack Obama? are they going in the booth and doing what they call, they used to call the Bradley effect, where people went in a booth and decided not, said they were going to vote for Bradley, whether it was Mayor Tom Bradley who was running for governor or California a long time ago, and everybody said they were going to vote for him, and then he actually, everybody was surprised. So in the polls, lost, and they said the Bradley effect, or the racial thing. So here's the reverse racial thing. Is it people who are black going to vote for him because he is black? Isn't that racist? If that is to be it, why aren't they talking about that element? Is it they can say, they're voting because they're proud being a black person, that he is black, but then still isn't that still voting because of his race? That is racism. It would be like the Mexicans or Hispanics voting for a Mexican mayor or Hispanic mayor simply because he's Mexican. Isn't that racist? Yeah, it is. Isn't that a racism? You didn't vote for him because of the qualities of what he, perceptions, what he can do, perform as a mayor. You voted for what, that his, who his parents were, and what he looks like on the outside, what color of skin, what accent he has, what's his last name. We have, like, even in this, I live in Nevada, and you can, they have the racism in a different tone of Mormonism. I mean, we have Senator Reed, who is a Mormon, who probably deserve it because he's a great leader, you know, but there are people probably here, a lot of Mormons live in Nevada, would vote for him because he's a Mormon. A Mormon voting for a Mormon. Sense of bigotry. Probably correct the word. And you have the same thing for, like, Senator Ensign, who's a Mormon, who's a veterinarian, who had no real understanding of how government works, ran several times. And he ran against someone who was actually more qualified. People voted for him because they're Mormon. Or if some Mormons voted for him because they're Mormon, wouldn't that be out of bigotry? So the same token I'm talking about, whether if a black person or Hispanic person or an Asian person or a white person votes for a person based upon their color or votes for them because of their skin, votes for them based upon their gender, it's the same thing. I don't care if you're black, white, green, yellow, purple. It is ugly bigotry, and you know no longer that you are the same. So if a black person votes for another person because they're black, then he is a Nazi. He has the same mentalities of a Nazi. It's the same ugly racism. And to say something negative about a white person, you're the same piece of crap to have the same ugly attitude. And why I'm bringing this up, because nobody likes talking about the truth of it. And that's time to talk about it and get real. Which I'm going to get what is real about what it is, you know. And there is a definite problem. A lot of it is, you know, like I said, the reverse. There is definitely being politically correct reverse racism, which brings an antagonism from white people toward blacks because they're treated differently. And I understand. Instead of, like, for example, going to college and you have to fill out and they want how many, need so many, instead of doing a quota system of inclusion, they do exclusion. So they need so many blacks, so many white, so many minorities. So they will, that's called that affirmative action thing, and they need so many. And it was done to level the playing field, obviously, from back in the heyday from 30 years ago, for the lack of educational opportunities for minorities, blacks and Hispanics and et cetera, that were put in, lived in areas where money wasn't going into, and a lot of millions of obstacles I can tell you about. I mean, I grew up in that. I saw it firsthand. So that was done, those programs, to bring up, make it a level playing field. The level of playing field has certainly changed. It is very much there. you know, after 30 years. I mean, we can see it. I mean, there are a lot of economic successes in family successes. Now, there are certain areas still, we still have the barriers, like I said, but it's changed. It's not like 30 years ago, you know. But we do have a problem of being politically correct, and then where there is a reverse thing happening, which is going to bounce back. It's almost like a boomerang effect of racism. And I'll give you an example. It was like the Duke lacrosse team that was accused of raping a black stripper chick, whatever. And that's what she was, a stripper, and they were having a party, and she accused them. And what happened with that? They made it a whole racial thing. And who was out there? Al Sharpton and Jesse Jackson. Oh, my God. And it turns out it was all fabricated. But they certainly screamed up and down when that happened, didn't they? By the way, for the record, you check it out. Did they ever apologize to the Duke lacrosse team? I mean, they went through a year. Can you imagine being accused of rape for almost a year and a half and threats and things like that? And just going through that, I mean, being looked at as a sexual predator. But did they apologize for their statements? Hell no. You know, and they sure made an issue when Michael Richards, you know, A.K. Kramer from Seinfeld Show, used the N-word in a show. He was getting all pissed off. You know, but how many black entertainers, black rappers, use the N-word? Or is it okay for them but not for white people because, oh, but see, that would be a racial thing then that is a racist thing. If you can say that, oh, it's different when we say it, then you are a racist. Then you are no different than the KKK and Ku Klux Klan, of the Ku Klux Klan or any of the Nazis. That is pure effing racism. You ain't shit if you think that way. You know, and then there was Don Imus who used the nappy-headed whole thing, and the whole African community got wanted him out, and boom, he lost his job right then and there. And had to run around kissing Al Sharpton's ass and, you know, Jesse Jackson, too. But you know one thing, they never, what about the reverse racism, where Al Sharpton made Jewish anti-Semitic remarks, Jew-hating remarks, or Jesse Jackson when he called New York City it's a Haimi town in reference to Jews living there. Is anything said about when he apologized for those remarks? Hell no. Because they're the same. They may have came from Martin Luther King Jr., but they ain't no Martin Luther King, believe me. They're, in fact, opposite of those people. That's how I look at them. They use that as to make money off of it. But, you know, they're supposed to be reverends, but they're more like Elmer Gundrys. You know, there is no real black leadership of today that can stand and have people have, say, blacks or African Americans, how they feel themselves to be called, and say, hey, have real leaders to say you don't need bling bling or all that stuff. There's different ways of rising up in the community with education, you know, through the very multiple sciences and, you know, that have come up, like the carvers, you know, who went through heyday, you know, in his time. But, I mean, there is none that can be looked up to. Where are those folks? And there is now one. And he's half black, actually, Barack Obama. And that's why people look up to him. By the way, he's half black. His mother was white and his father was black, who was actually from Africa. So he really is an African-American in that sense, if you want to be right names. And that, you know, and I listened to his speech and I liked what he had to say. You know, I understand people got upset when Reverend Wright, who he looked up, and he made some derogatory remarks. And that was his spiritual leader, whatever, and he looks to him like uncle. But I understand where he was coming from. right, he was saying, you know, he's like family. It'd be like having a brother, older brother who protects you and helped you, and they'd say derogatory stuff, but he still took care of you. It was, that's what he was referring to about his grandmother, and people took it the wrong way. His grandmother, who actually raised him, he was raised by his white grandmother, would say racial things, yet took care of him. It's almost like you ever saw the movie, I think it was called The Monster, or Monster's Ball, where Billy Bob Thornton is really a bigot, and he falls in love with Halle Berry. It's the same thing. It shows how when you break down the racial stuff and pull aside, it doesn't mean crap. We are, what I'm trying to get to, eventually, people. Our souls have no faces. There's no race in their souls. And that's why I think it was really important. I'm not going to tell you, I told you who I was, and there was like a hairline who I was for, and I also got really pissed off, I told you in the past, of who, because of Michigan and Florida, who I, you know, get mad, and I probably wouldn't vote for Obama. Well, you know, if he ended up winning the primary, well, I'm still a Democrat, and I will retract, you know, because I think if I could not possibly see Senator as McCain, which would be the McSane, as another Bush third term, as president of this country, would put this country in further turmoil. And I think I like what he has to say, not for what his color is. And I, you know, he reminds me of, let me tell you who Hillary Clinton, what she reminds me of, the Robert F. Kennedy, the doer, who was, actually, tell you the truth, Robert F. Kennedy was better, would have been a better president than John F. Kennedy. In fact, in his administration, he was a doer, and John F. Kennedy was the speaker, the great talker. Robert wasn't the greatest talker. John F. was the greatest talker. In the same token, I see Barack, the great speaker, and then you have Clinton, maybe not the best, as a good speaker, but not like him, but the doer. And that's why I wish they would become a dream ticket. Either one way or the other. I think as a team, they help facilitate this country. And look, I'm not even talking about, I don't care that she's a woman or a man. It's what she did as a person. I don't care what Barack Obama is, whether he's black or not. It's what he says and what he wants to do and his intentions are in this country. I already know the intentions of McCain, which is basically the McSane. Or you will have another Mick Bush. And I don't think we've had 8 years of that stuff. You know, and that's my issue. You know, and people like, wonder, you know, if you go on the aspects of what a roundedness, you know, like blacks looking at Barack Obama like he's as black, he's actually very multicultured. He's not really a black, grown up in a black society of America, the way he was, he's very multi-ethnic, which is the epitome of culture. I mean, he lived overseas, lived in Pakistan, around the world. He grew up eventually in Hawaii, which is a Polynesian, Asian atmosphere. If you've ever been to Hawaii, especially during that time, he grew up like in the 70s, you know. It was very, if you ever been to Hawaii, it's very multicultured. I mean, there's not really any real Hawaiians. There's Japanese, Chinese, Filipino, Portuguese, white. You know, it is a multi-ethnic, racial situation in Hawaii. And that's what he grew up with, where they didn't look at you for what, you know, your eyes are slanted or not, that your skin is white or brown. Your hair is curly or not. It's just you. You know, and you sort of, there was like a genuine melting pot. So that's where he grew up. That's where his element. That's why he says a lot of things. I know his wife says, I don't really like his wife. His wife comes up and says, they put her in the back street and don't talk. Because sometimes he says the stupidest things. But that's not him. She's she and he's he, you know. So that's the situation, what I'm talking about, reverse racism. if you want to get things to what's right of racism, see, racism here in the United States, by the way, for you folks, you know, it's not a white thing. It's not just, it's a, also a black thing. It's a Hispanic thing. It's a damn ugly American thing. And it has to be, you know, you can't run away from it, because if you run away from it, it's like a little cancer, it'll grow and grow. You got to keep on hitting it until it's no longer there. And for the Hispanics, I've heard, I'm going to bring this up too, I remember people saying, well, you know, when they brought up about, you know, illegal aliens and it's racism, and no, that's all bullshit. And then the thing about taking over, this is California was Mexico beforehand, and Arizona or whatever. Well, sorry to tell you, before it was Mexico, it was Native American. And those are the original people who, you know, occupied and owned this land. You know, it was Shoshone, Paiute, Mojave, Cheyenne, Comanche, Apache, Hopi, Pueblo, Navajo. It wasn't essay, and it wasn't white boy, you know. That's who the originals were, so let's get real about that crap. I just wanted, had to get that thing out of there. That was just like a joke, you know. But the real issue I want to get to is, like I said, it's people tend to get, they need to get faced what is real for racism. It's not just, like I said, it's flip-flop. And they have to get to real what we really are, you know, which is souls. If you look at a soul, there is no face. It's faceless. In fact, when you were to go out of body, you would see basically like an energy mass, but because your own perspective, where our minds are and beliefs, we have to put a face on that energy pattern to recognize, to feel comfortable. That's why we feel as people, our minds, we get small-minded, and we have to put, categorize and put faces and colors on certain situations to identify with. That's why we have to say, that's a black person, that's a white person, that's a green person, that's a Jew. I mean, I've thought that living even in the Middle East, people tend to want to classify things and put labels and things on elements that are really to finite things in their own mind, because that's how they're looking at things, in a finite way. You categorize things in a finite way. Excuse me, I'm going to have a little drink here, coffee. Sorry. Anyway, when you look, when people look at things, they need to look at the people for what they are, and then they have, are just souls. You know, they are souls. They do have cultural aspects to them, because they learn their culture, people learn their cultural aspects from their, at this, that particular lifetime, whether it's from their immediate parents, their families, their neighbors around them, their friends, from the place they live in, those aspects are learned and carried around them. The way they speak, the way they act, that's a learned cultural behavior. If you take a person and you pull them out and pop them into another culture, I don't know if you noticed, like, I've noticed, like, I'll give you an example. I remember when I lived in Israel, and I was probably one of the few, only person speaking English, right? And after a while, speaking Hebrew so much, I started, even in English, have slight Israeli accent and saying some words. And then when I saw my parents came to visit me, this is when I first was living there, they're like, what the hell happened to your accent? You know? Because I was living amongst Israelis who, and I, you start changing your accents. You know how people from the south, they come here to, let's say, California, their accent would like start changing. They start losing their accent. You go live in Britain, or, you know, like I remember living amongst Australians for a little bit too. All of a sudden, my accents are changing. Your cultural aspects. You take those things where you are. Those are cultural aspects. They have nothing to do. So it's a culturally learned aspect. And it's the same thing with peoples. But that's not what they are inside. That they're all souls, you know. They all have, you know, there is no color to their soul. They're just pure light, you know. And if you look at their with their skin color, they have brown eyes or slant eyes or curly hair or white skin or blue eyes. That's just the outside. That's like a mask. That's just a thing outside. That ain't real what's real. That's just like the facade of, like I said, it's like the Phantom of the Opera thing on their face. You pull off and you take out their skin, yeah, their DNA, there's different aspects of, you know, certain, you know, if you're getting physiologically or people have different elements of things, like, you know, blacks can have sickle cell disease, Jews have Tay-Sachs, you know, I think Indians have, Native Americans have certain things, like certain aspects. Every, physiologically, but those have been evolved out of evolutional aspects too, you know, where they had it grown physiologically. But still, again, it has nothing to do for what they are. That's why I look at people for people, you know, whether like, and they have choices, and people can make choices, and I, you know, I did that before, and I don't want to rehash that. But people have to look for people for what they are inside, for what they do, where they act, not for what's outside, their color of skin, their nationality, or their religious aspects, you know, whether they're Jew, Catholic, Muslim. They're inside, they are their souls. That's what's important. Now, for what their reaction and what they do, that's a whole different story. But you can't prejudice. You know, you have to look and look at people for what they are and not look at them. You know, when you cross divide, you know, cross through that barrier. When you meet somebody, you take their first personification for who they are and for what their actions are, not for what they are. Hope you got my drift. So, anyway, I know I'm coming close to my end here. But the most important thing I'm trying to relate in this religious, I mean this racial thing here, is to understand that we have no racial barriers, which is coming to the end of my song, the song I'm going to put out by my friend here, Omni, which I'm sure you've heard in the past. But people need to look at both sides of the story and also look at, we need to talk and to understand and to relate. And people need to understand that there's racism from whites to blacks as well as blacks to whites. And that has to be acknowledged and cut down and brought and wiped out. Because we're basically, we are, there is one race. We are the human race. We are all on this planet looking like leaves with different positions and different perspectives. But again, we are all connected with the one. We are the same. We all are together. We all, our souls are, you know, energies that are floating around. But the major thing is our energies are all connected. And we need to get beyond that superficial looking element of race, color, creed, national origin, religion. You need to go beyond that, because that's not real. That's a facade. So with that, I want to thank you all for listening, and I want to thank BBS Radio for having me produce my show, and I want to thank all you listeners and future listeners. And please do check out, when you have a chance, my blog site, andrew.myufo.com. And if you have any questions or comments or anything else, please do send them at flyingpigs@artlover.com. That's my personal email address. Or you can straight to BBS, and I will try to get to them as best I can, as quickly as I could, or can could. And I want to wish everybody a lovely weekend, and God bless you all. And with that, hip-hop, racism, there are no barriers. And God bless you all.